May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Unsurprisingly, really, I thought today I'd tell a story about losing and finding and celebrating. And I don't know about you, but for me, these are fairly everyday occurrences. I remember years ago thinking I ought to rewrite the book Spot. This was before all these Ladybird books came out. I thought Spot for middle-aged people was great. You could have a whole series of Spot losing glasses and keys and television remotes. So we all lose things. We panic, we search. And then there's joy when we find the things we've been searching for. And we've got these two biblical stories today, finding the lost sheep and the lost coin. And Jesus is taking everyday occurrences and telling a story that taps into the things that we do, the way we feel, but also tells us something about heaven and about God's love and about forgiveness. And I thought that I'd like to just hold these stories up to the light and turn them around a bit and look at them from different angles. So first of all, losing things. And I thought, what about somebody who's working in an office, working with computers? And many of us have been there when you lose an attachment on an email. So think of a person, what woman, when she loses an important attachment, does not scroll through her emails, looking first by date, and then finally trying the search options. She looks by subject, by sender, by category, as you get desperate, by alternate possible senders, in the trash, in the junk, looking all the time for that email that has the attachment that you need for your work. And when she discovers the missing email, she copies it and sends it to her boss and then files it where it ought to have been filed all along. And she is seriously relieved. And she calls her colleagues and says, "Let's have a coffee break and cake because I found the email that I'd lost." Lost, found, celebrating. And finding things. So losing things and finding things. From our earliest memories, being lost is a game. You know, from when a parent plays peekaboo with the baby, that's about being lost and found. Because when the mother or father hides their face, they've gone. And the baby just waits to be found again. It's that mutual blessing of the joy of the baby, you know, the gurgles and the shrieks of laughter when you do the whole peekaboo thing. And hide and seek too, playing that as children. And in both of those, there's a kind of practicing that physical experience of being lost and found. It's something we seem to need to do, to hide and be found, to lose something, to find it. And as children get older, there are all the other things. There's the Spot books, you know, where's Spot? I mean, I know they're very old history now, the Spot books, but turning every page to find where Spot is hiding. And then the Where's Wally books, where you've got to find Wally and his scarf hidden. And the game finishes with the finding, with the end of the book for Spot, but with Wally, when you've found on each page where he's hiding. There's a satisfaction and a completion that just goes with it. We are somehow made whole again when we found. There's a satisfaction in it all. I'm saying the same things over and over again, I know. It just feels good to find what you're looking for. So then, there's the word celebrating. And celebrating is at the centre of these readings. Because Luke's stories are all connected. You know, we have I'm always saying this. I know we have a gospel reading for the day and it's presented pure and bounded. But in the Bible, it's part of an ongoing story, Jesus' ongoing journey. So there was a running theme going through Luke's gospel in the last few chapters. Jesus was making a habit of celebrating, but with the wrong people. And as this opens, it says, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. He's got an openness to those who are sinful. And he goes even further and he eats with them. He celebrates, he breaks bread with them. And now earlier in the previous chapter, Jesus has been in conflict with the Pharisees. They are, they're presented so often as the baddies, but they're really good, holy people, striving to be righteous, striving to be holy, striving for perfection. And Jesus tells them, completely missing the point, to the extent that they risk missing heaven altogether. So Jesus earlier has told a story about a great banquet. You know, it's a parable of all the people who are invited failing to turn up, and the Pharisees realizing he means them. But in the parable, the man who's thrown the banquet says, you know, just grab people and bring them in. The sinners. The people who think they have no right to be here. And now the Pharisees are angry because they know that they're true Israelites. And here comes Jesus with what they think is a warped interpretation of all they hold dear. So they are angry. But the crowds adore him. See, the Pharisees don't think that they themselves are lost. They're clearly the 99 sheep who don't need rescuing. Jesus, in Luke's gospel particularly, delights in simple people and in children, the people who get him naturally without needing to have acres of learning. And he adds into that the tax collectors and the prostitutes and sinners, the people who know that they are lost. They know their need of God. And Jesus' heart goes out to them in welcome to say that the kingdom of heaven is near. So to anybody, you know, who feels that they are lost and that there is no way back, then the gospel is good news. There is so much precedent for Jesus reaching out. And if that's you today, know that he delights in you. He loves you. And he longs to wrap his arms around you. He said, elsewhere in Luke, about the children. He says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And in Luke 10, he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Coming to Jesus, being lost and being found, is easy. And these are things worth celebrating, because when someone turns round to face Jesus, heaven and earth are united. In just the same way as when Jesus said, when someone is healed, the finger of God has touched them. When someone turns back to God, they are reunited with him. And so Jesus tells these stories that delight the ordinary people and discomfort the leaders. Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. After Jesus' death, so many priests and Pharisees became Christians. We just see at this point in Jesus' gospel story the way they are faced with a complete change and how they resist it. But are these righteous people so sure they don't need to repent? We don't know. And what about us? Are we so sure we don't need to repent? Because we can all find ourselves drifting away at times, actually turning away sometimes, or at other times just sort of losing our way. My youngest daughter, when she was 13, came to me and said, "I'm not sure I believe in God anymore." And I said, "Why? What's the reason?" She said, and excuse her language, she said, "I think he's bogged off." She just thought that the ease she had felt with Jesus when she was little had kind of evaporated as she got older, and she thought it was God that had walked away. So we can all find ourselves a bit lost from time to time, and we can either deny it or we can acknowledge that we're lost. But the moment we make that acknowledgement, the moment we realize that we're the one that's walked away, then we can turn around and face God and just know his forgiveness, but more even than that, his delight that we are back. The two go together, really, the forgiveness and Jesus' delight and our joy. When we know we need help, we must also all know that we can be found over and over and over again. There's a poet that I'm very fond of, a man called Malcolm Guite. And he describes in a poem, I'm going to read a short poem to you that he has written, and he describes his drift from God, how God searches for him and rescues him, and then also how sometimes we can initiate the search for God, and how we know where God is hiding. We find him, we see him shining in the darkness, or we find him present in Holy Communion. And he has a wonderful phrase at the end. He says, a couplet, "Even in darkness I can see you shine, risen in bread and reveling in wine." And that word reveling takes me straight back to the whole sense of celebration and Jesus eating and drinking, reveling with the people that the Pharisees thought he shouldn't be with at all. So this is the poem from Malcolm Guite, who, by the way, is a priest and a college chaplain in Cambridge. "Hide and seek. Ready or not, you tell me. Here I come, and so I know I'm hiding, and I know my hiding place is useless. You will come and find me. You are searching high and low. Today I'm hiding low, down here below. Below the sunlit surface others see. Oh, find me quickly, come to me. And here you come, and here I come to you. I come to you because you come to me. You know my hiding places. I know you. I reach you through your hiding places too, touching the slender thread. But now I see, even in darkness, I can see you shine, risen in bread and reveling in wine." Amen.